What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, so we have a fun show to do today. We've done the last three shows all on defensive positions for our position group breakdown. So on today's show, we're doing running backs. There's a lot to talk about with this group. We all know that Melvin Gordon is the bell cow and the guy that the offense is going to run through. But the Chargers did use Austin Ekeler and even Justin Jackson a good amount last year. And we all know Melvin Gordon's injury history. So I think in the first segment, what we'll do is talk about Melvin Gordon, what we expect from Melvin Gordon this year, if we have any confidence that he'll be able to stay on the field, and also how we feel about his contract situation since he still hasn't been extended yet. So we've already given our thoughts on if they should extend him or not, but hey, it's the time to really check back in on it and think about what we want to do with Melvin Gordon going forward. Then in the second segment, we'll talk about more of Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson, two guys that made a name for themselves at some point with the Chargers. Austin Ekeler was before last season, but Justin Jackson had that infamous game against the Steelers where he absolutely carved up the steel curtain and put himself on the main stage in the brightest of lights on Sunday Night Football and just a ridiculous game. So we'll talk about that with them and talk about the roles we could see for them this year and specifically what they would be able to do with Melvin Gordon if he was to get injured and couldn't play, because we saw Austin Ekeler struggle last year when Melvin Gordon was out. And then in the last segment, it's time to talk about everybody else. We're not going to do a full show on fullbacks, so we'll also throw Derek Watt into this list. And then we'll also talk some Dortrez Newsome, a guy that was, you know, pretty popular in preseason and played well and got a little bit of time with the big league team. And then the other two guys on the list, Troymaine Pope and Jeremy Cox out of Old Dominion. A couple of guys that we don't have very high expectations for, but we'll tell you if there's any shot they could get on the roster. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. Melvin Gordon is one of the biggest running backs in the league right now, especially with his ability to get into the end zone. 36 rushing touchdowns over his last 3 years after not being able to get in his first season somehow. I mean, how that happened is still, I mean, crazy to me, just because he's been pretty dynamic since he's been on the Chargers. But now it's time to kind of figure out what to do with him, guys. I mean, we could expect a really big season for him this year. I know that's what he's hoping for because he wants to get paid big time and he's in line in a contract year just to do that, David. But like we've seen before, he has a high risk of getting injured. I missed games last year, and it wasn't just the missing games last year, but just him coming back from injuries and not looking the same. He put up, you know, one of his more impressive stat lines, especially yards per carry, over 5 yards a carry for the first time in his career, but had those injuries. So, David, right now going into this with Melvin Gordon again, we know how important he is to the offense, but how do you expect that he'll actually hold up this season as far as missing games?
For his sake, I'm sure he's hoping that he's been able to take care of his body enough to where he's going to go 16 games and have the best season of his life, because, hey, this is probably going to be the biggest and best payday of his NFL career if 100%. He is able to stay on the field. So it's in his best interest. And, you know, I think he has to get with the coaching staff too and, you know, try to kind of to monitor him or maybe have some reins on him maybe early in the season. That way, when we get to December and get to the playoffs, we have, you know, some juice still left in Melvin Gordon's legs. I mean, we know what he's capable of doing when he's in that zone. He can take over a game. He can do it running the ball. He can do it catching the ball. He has gotten better every year he's been in the league. And I know he's hoping and his wallet is hoping that this is his best year yet.
Yeah, he has every incentive to stay healthy. I mean, other than just wanting to be out there with his teammates. But he just has such a violent running style. I just got done writing an article for Sports Al Dente comparing all of the AFC West running backs. And one of the things I put in there is, you know, the other guys behind Melvin Gordon are super talented. But there's no other guy that can really break five tackles and turn it into a house call. You know, like the Chargers don't have that skill set elsewhere on the roster. But John, it just scares me. I mean, just with the history we've seen from him, the way he runs the ball, I know they'll probably try to keep his carries somewhat limited and use the rest of the guys, but it just still doesn't make me feel great about it.
It doesn't. I mean, when you come to these contract type of years, it gets really interesting because it's going to be, okay, do we want to limit him and save him for playoffs? Because it could be the last time we use him, or do we want to limit him so that he can't ask for more money? There's like so many weird things that I've seen happen in the NFL. I've even seen them do it to Melvin Gordon, I think it was his rookie year when he was like 3 yards short of 1,000 yards, and they didn't let him do it because he would have got a roster bonus or something like that, the 1,000-yard bonus at his contract. So they kept him out, even though he had an injury. But even if he's healthy, we're not playing him. It's a meaningless game. But in real life, it turned out they were trying to keep him from getting his roster bonus. So there's a lot of things that could happen just with the contract year alone. But if you're talking just the season alone, if you were to use Melvin Gordon as like a first down back, and then if it turns into like 2nd and 5, use him again, I think it's effective there. If it turns into like 2nd and 13, I think you do got to start limiting him, because all he's going to do is sit out there and get injured to be a pass blocker or to go run a route and get hit in open space. Because we've seen before, he doesn't really always get out of open space. He tends to fall kind of easily sometimes. Last year, he improved on that, but you still saw signs of it. You're better off using Eckler or someone in open space. So limiting him can also be a strategy as well.
I've seen it go, you know, one of two ways. You could limit him, try to save him for the playoffs, or you could just use the hell out of him. And since you know you might not re-sign him, use the tread he still has on those tires. It just scares me because, I mean, we all saw how quickly it fell off with Todd Gurley, and it's yet to be determined whether he'll really come back from that. But that's a scary thing about running backs, guys, especially ones with really high usage. They break down easy, especially when you run like that. That's the thing about Melvin Gordon's running style, is it just seems like he's always taking hard hits when he's going down. I mean, you see guys in the past, like a Darren Sproles, where it didn't ever seem like anyone hit him fully. Like, they never could square him up because he's so little, so quick. People stick Melvin Gordon and hit him full force. And I mean, he takes some just vicious-looking hits. And most times, he pops right back up. But at the same time, we've seen before that it's not always that easy. Maybe don't run like a double reverse that gets him hurt like they did last year when they were beating the Cardinals' ass and made no sense whatsoever. Maybe keep that one out of the playbook, Anthony Lynn, when you're winning by that much. But that does bring us back to that, John, when you're talking about contracts and extending Melvin Gordon. This would be around the time where you could see a contract extension get done with Melvin Gordon. It hasn't happened yet. You know that you have Phillip Rivers, who they still want to extend. Next season, when you'd have to pay Melvin Gordon, you have Joey Bosa, who you could possibly extend after this season and keep him away from the free agent market. And you could always franchise tag Melvin Gordon, which would cost you about $12-ish million with the running back salaries right now. You know, another guy could sign, but right now it's the two guys up top with Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. Gurley at 15, Le'Veon Bell just under that 14.5, and then it's Devontae Freeman at 8, which is really keeping the whole average down right now. But not a bad price to pay for a running back, David, especially a franchise type running back. Has your opinion changed at all on whether the Chargers should extend Melvin Gordon now as opposed to letting him play out the season?
The chances of him having a really good year to me seem pretty strong. I don't know. I'm just getting the feeling that he's going to have a career year. So I think if they get him signed in the offseason right now in training camp or before training camp, you might be able to get him around 12, 13 million. Maybe, you know, I'd be comfortable in the 10 to 13 million ish range. But you know, if he goes out there and balls out and has the best season of his career, he's going to want Le'Veon Bell type money, and you might not be able to argue too much. So I think right now is probably the best time to get a contract done.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And you could obviously franchise tag him, like you said, and keep him at a reasonable price, but it gets sticky after that. And we all saw what happened with Le'Veon Bell. John, yes or no, quickly, do you extend Melvin Gordon right now if you're Tom Telesco?
I'm still 50-50 on it, man, because I'm still willing to trade him if he's not willing to get signed for the money that you want to give him. I can't really give an answer to it, really. I don't know.
John doesn't know how to play the yes or no game. No, I know. It's hard. I mean, it's a really tricky decision, especially with running backs.
It's the injuries.
Joey Bosa at this point. I mean,
exactly. You know, if it wasn't for the injuries, I would say I'd be willing to take the chance of doing it now, whether or not he's going to turn into a Donald Butler or not, you know, who's a different story. But it's the injury. Melvin Gordon never stays healthy. If you give him all that money just to go down in week five and miss, you know, the next seven games, you just paid him a bunch of money to sit on the sideline.
Yeah, and you can't afford that. And that's the difference between the franchise tag is, yes, you're getting him for that season, paying top dollar for him. But if he totally drops off or he gets injured and it's substantial, I mean, you don't have to pay him those last 3 years or whatever it would be if you extended him. So there's still a lot of time to think about that. But I think we'd have to see the details before we know if we'd be comfortable with it. But it's a really hard decision, guys. That's a hard yes or no to choose from. But I have a thing for you guys that's really not a hard yes or no. It's just a hard yes, and that's BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And Blue Chew is made in the USA. Happy 4th of July, people, late. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. You really can't go wrong, guys. And right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. They can get Blue Chew for free when they use the special promo code LOCKEDON on BlueChew.com. All you have to do is pay the $5 in shipping, and the product is free. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, time to get back into our running back breakdown. This is a really interesting position group because I think it's one of the Chargers' deepest position groups. But at the same time, the whole group looks so much different with Melvin Gordon out, like we learned last year when Melvin Gordon got injured. Obviously, the Pittsburgh game, you got bailed out by a big Justin Jackson game that absolutely came out of nowhere when Austin Ekeler was really struggling to find his footing as a starter and, you know, was dealing with injuries all last season too. But I do want to talk about these guys. David, Austin Ekeler, I mean, over the last few seasons, the undrafted guy that made the team with just, I mean, really brilliant performances and showing this team that, hey, this is not a guy that you can pass up. And ever since then, I mean, he's been one of the Chargers' most dominant pass catchers out of the backfield. I mean, he was the most dominant pass catcher out of the backfield with what he's able to do, the mismatches on linebackers. It seems like every time he gets the ball in his hands in open space, he's beating a linebacker or a safety to the corner and turning up field. I mean, great acceleration. He's a pretty small guy, even though it says he's 5'10". I'm not sure he's 5'10", but he's just so compact. One of the strongest guys on the team. David, do we need to see more of Austin Ekeler next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you ask Alvin on Twitter, he's going to scream that we need to see more Austin Ekeler next year. I think it's a no-brainer that you got to get him on the field more. No matter what capacity that is. I mean, and also, I want to see better design runs for Austin Ekeler next year. I don't want to see him being ran up the middle. That's setting him up a failure. He doesn't have the body type or running style that lends itself to that particular type of running. You need to utilize him on the outside. Let him get in space. You know, pitch it to him. Let him make people miss. That's what he does. He did it very well last year. And man, like you said, when Austin Ekeler gets out in the open field, he makes people look silly. He did it on a regular basis. He was fun to watch, and we need to see more of Austin Ekeler and also used more efficiently this season.
Yeah, and last year he did have 106 carries. That's not bad for a backup running back. Melvin Gordon had 175, obviously, with the missed games, but Austin Ekeler missed some games as well, but average, you know, 5.2 yards per carry, the best on the team. His average yards per reception was best on the team for running backs. And we all know Melvin Gordon's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. and take Pro Football Focus, you know, with a grain of salt if you like, but Melvin Gordon's receiving grade on Pro Football Focus is a 60.6. Austin Eckler's is an 84.8. That's a monumental gap. I mean, Austin Eckler, if he would have had enough carries, most of last year was the number one ranked running back on Pro Football Focus, showing you how good that they thought he was. He just didn't have the snaps to be considered, you know, on the ranking list. But John, the weird thing about Austin Eckler, and maybe it has to do with some of that play calling that David was talking about, but when Melvin Gordon was out, Austin Eckler was not the same player. I went back and looked at all the games when he was the starter. It was week 7 against Tennessee in London, 12 carries for 42 yards. Not great. He started week 13 against Pittsburgh before Justin Jackson took over, had 13 carries for 21 yards. That's a pretty good defensive front there in Pittsburgh. And then his last time that he started was week 14, 15 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown. That was his best game of the season. But, John, we've seen with Melvin Gordon out, Austin Eckler has not been able to come in and be the same Austin Eckler that we're used to, which is a little concerning when you're talking about letting a guy like Melvin Gordon play out the last year of his contract.
It is concerning. And Austin Eckler, I would say, is more of the compliment back, as I mentioned last year. He's the kind of guy that after Melvin Gordon has carried some of the load, you bring Eckler in and it changes things around. Change of pace back could be another way to say it too. But, I mean, you could even use him running up the middle if Melvin Gordon's done it the first few times. If, say, it's been the first two drives and you've ran Gordon up the middle a few times and you've got some passing routes to get a couple of first downs, and the third drive, Eckler comes in, you surprise him, and they can't find him because he's hiding underneath all the tall offensive linemen, stuff like that works. But if you have just Eckler, that's not his style. It doesn't work really well. If you're going to have him run up the middle, you got to have some guards pulling. You got to have a tight end pull. Maybe you have two players pull at the same time through the same hole, and eventually he finds his way through because they can't see him, which is what they used to do with Sproles. You got to have a complement back to make Eckler a simple running back. And if Melvin Gordon leaves, you're going to have to get somebody, whether it's a free agent, whether it's a draft, you're going to have to get somebody that can be a rollback. And while Eckler is in the game, let's say Melvin Gordon does go down, you're going to have to scheme him open, whether it's put him in the slot and run a slant route across the field or something. Maybe do the Tyrell Williams type of routes that he had, not the deep ones, just the short type of routes that they had Tyrell doing, would be the crossing route or any of those kind of routes. Eckler can run those too and make him effective. Use those kind of things, you can make him effective even if he is the only running back active as the starters.
Yeah, well, let's remember another thing when we're talking about Eckler and not being able to run up the middle. Hey, who's blocking for him up the middle? Last year, I mean, it was Dan Feeney, Mike Pouncey, and Michael Schofield. That's not the best road pavers to really get in there and push guys off the line of scrimmage. I mean, the Chargers' yards before contact last year was abysmal when they ran up the middle. They were not getting any push in the middle of the field. So, I mean, Austin Eckler, that's not his best role, I would say. I mean, I would argue, though,
that Justin Jackson ran some pretty good plays through that offensive line.
Sometimes they did. But for the most part, none of them really had success there. I mean, even a lot of the big Melvin Gordon runs were coming on the outside, and if it's in the middle, he's breaking tackles. I mean, yes, there were some games that were better than others, but let's not act like the middle of the Chargers' offensive line is any good. I mean, we're talking about running up the middle.
I don't think you can make that the main excuse for Eckler, because Justin Jackson had some success.
Melvin Gordon, in one game.
One of the few games he played. Melvin Gordon's a big body guy, so you can't really discuss him in the up the middle type thing, because as you mentioned, he can break tackles. Eckler and Jackson are kind of the same kind of player, if you will. Mm. And Justin Jackson was making plays. Austin Eckler could not. I think you can't make that the main excuse for Eckler.
I'm not saying it's the main excuse, but you're talking about one single game where one guy had success up the middle. Let's be honest. Austin Eckler, I mean, has some quicks, but Justin Jackson is way more elusive. I mean, bouncing out runs and plays like that. I mean, Austin Eckler is better when he can get out in the open field and let his acceleration work for him and his top-end speed, which is way better than Justin Jackson. But Justin Jackson is much more elusive and got the most elusive grade in Pro Football Focus because of how many guys he had to make miss. So I would definitely give him credit there, but John, since you're talking about Justin Jackson, what do you think his role is going to be this year? I mean, he trailed off a little bit, played more when Melvin Gordon was absent. But at the same time, with the two guys you have in front of him, both super talented guys wanting to get the most out of Melvin Gordon, what do you see a role for Justin Jackson looking like?
I would say late in the game, maybe halfway through the third quarter, he becomes that change of pace back. You're going to have basically Melvin Gordon carrying the load, Austin Ekeler to be the third down guy or whatever. And then Justin Jackson changes everything. You bring him in if, say, your offense isn't moving as well as you want it to and you need to change it up, Justin Jackson's that guy. Maybe if Melvin Gordon needs a breather and you need for a drive, you need two guys, Ekeler and Jackson are your two guys for that drive. But as far as a big role from Justin Jackson, I don't really see much of it. I think Jackson could actually maybe be, if I want to talk about what I think he should be, not what they're going to do, I think Justin Jackson could actually be the Michael Turner to LT. And what I mean by that is the guy that comes in and takes the next running snaps from Melvin Gordon after Melvin Gordon goes out for a breather or two, instead of Ekeler being the guy that takes those snaps.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, like you said, he was better in between the tackles and more just straight up running than Austin Ekeler was. I mean, Austin Ekeler is good at what he's good at. I don't know if he's ever going to be that first and second down running back, but we've seen the Chargers use three running backs with success before, so it's not impossible, but there's a lot of mouths to feed in this backfield. Hopefully you can use a good blend of them to keep the other ones fresh, because that's what you use a running back rotation for. It's just hard when you have a Melvin Gordon type who is really such a rhythm runner and kind of works his way into games, can start off slow and then really grind down a defense. I can see a situation where it works out, but it's going to be tough to manage all of these guys in the same backfield. But we do have a whole nother segment to get into. We haven't even talked fullbacks yet. Poor Derek Watt. But we'll get into that right after this. All right, guys, time to wrap up the running back position group show. Had a lot of good conversation about Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler, Justin Jackson, three guys that we expect to be heavily involved this season. But I want to talk about a guy who really made big waves last year, especially in the preseason, with Tre'Davious Newsome, who actually beat Justin Jackson out onto the opening 53-man roster. Justin Jackson was sent to the practice squad. Tre'Davious Newsome was on the actual team. Didn't really get to play, but he was there before they ended up sending him down to the practice squad and bringing up Justin Jackson. We were always thinking, you know, what happened? You know, how did this happen? He already beat him out. What could have happened in practice? It ended up being the right move for the most part. I mean, we saw the promise of Justin Jackson, which we wouldn't have seen if we had a full year of Tre'Davious Newsome. But Tre'Davious Newsome, David, was really outstanding in preseason and did a really good job with his opportunities to even, you know, consider the credit from the Chargers coaches to make the team. I mean, you have to do a lot to make the team as an undrafted free agent. I mean, it's usually one, maybe two guys. So even though Tre'Davious Newsome right now looks like he might be on the outside looking in, he definitely has the talent and has shown some at some points that he can play at this level.
Yeah, Tre'Davious Newsome is not a flashy type of runner, but he's productive. I mean, he's a guy that seems to get 3 or 4 yards about every single carry. He can break some tackles. He has shown some power. He's just not a guy that's going to, you know, be really flashy, and that's okay. I mean, you know, you got running backs in the NFL that, you know, get the job done by just being productive. And if Tre'Davious Newsome is able to do that and stay consistent, then, you know, he has a fighting chance. I don't know if they're going to carry more than 3 running backs.
Right.
So, you know, he's going to have to fight it out. He's going to have to take Justin Jackson's job. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know, hey, you know, he showed well last year in limited showing time or limited playing time. And, you know, we'll see what he's able to do in training camp.
Yeah. It's not like he got a full shot last year. I mean, had 11 carries for 49 yards, which isn't bad. I mean, had some good plays with some, you know, -1 yard rushes, which is to be expected for a rookie undrafted free agent. And I don't think he has to be a starter in the league. I mean, he could hopefully find himself a backup gig somewhere where he gets some carries. I think he definitely has that skill level to at least be a backup somewhere, even if he doesn't make the Chargers. But right now, it's not looking great for him with the three guys we all expect to make it. You have Derek Watt, so that's four fullbacks slash running backs. I don't know if they're taking on more than that on the roster. And Derek Watt plays a lot of special teams as well. But speaking of Derek Watt, John, I mean, Anthony Lynn came in with the idea that he was going to be more run heavy in this offense and have a much more effective running game. And you thought that would probably have something to do with a fullback, considering you keep him on the roster, even though he doesn't rush the passer like the rest of the Watt brothers. I mean, I wish he could just really have a change of heart, to be honest. But we've, you know, had mixed opinions about Derek Watt over the last few seasons. I mean, ever since he got drafted. But do you think the problem with this team is having Watt and using Watt too much, or do you think we need to see more of Derek Watt?
I think we need to see more of the I formation to use more of Derek Watt. And I don't know if we need to use Watt as a guy that catches the ball or a guy that runs the fullback dive or anything like that. I mean, I would like to see Watt in the passing game a little bit, but I'm more concerned about the I formation, whether it's the strong guy, the weak guy, or just the straight up normal I formation. Use him to lead Melvin Gordon through the hole. It's a lot easier that way when you have another blocker, especially with the offensive line that you already have. It's good to have another blocker that can lead you through and let Melvin Gordon read him. And they played in college together, so it's not like they have to work on chemistry. They know each other very well. It's basically the LT to Lorenzo Neal right there. They got that kind of bond. You just got to use it more. I would like to see more of the I formation running, maybe get more play actions out of it to open up the tight ends a little bit more. I think that could help the offense a little bit more, but you got to run it first.
Yeah, I think I like Derek Watt and what they're able to do with him on the field. Pro Football Focus had him as the second best run blocking fullback. I mean, there's not a bunch of them out there for him to be compared against, but I think he does a good job. I mean, we saw that counter play by the Chargers spring for like a couple 25 plus yard touchdowns where it's just, you know, Derek Watt making one block in the hole and Melvin Gordon is in the end zone. You love plays like that. And I don't need him to be a lot of a receiver, John, but I do think that he needs to be enough of a receiver that you can actually get something out of those play actions. I mean, play actions are tough to run when the interior of your offensive line can't stop anyone from getting through because you need time for that play to develop. But at the same time, if you have a guy like Derek Watt in there who can catch the ball out of the backfield, I think it makes it a little bit less obvious if you want to go I formation or offset I, which they've done some of. It doesn't just mean, hey, we're running the ball right now, because a lot of times that is what it has meant. I mean, Derek Watt had only one catch for 2 yards last year, got robbed on a touchdown, which we don't have to talk about. It was infuriating. But we've always said, hey, use him a little bit more as a pass catcher, because why do we have this guy on the roster if he's only going to play 100 snaps every season? But they are effective when he's out there. I mean, I think he is good for the Chargers to have, especially if they want to be more smash mouth. I just don't know if they have the rest of the parts, especially on the offensive line, to really play that kind of physical brand of football. But David, I think if you're going to have Watt on the team, you need to see a little bit more out of him.
Well, yeah, and I think he's a very capable pass catcher. I mean, he seemed to have shown that he's got decent hands. I think it can only be a positive thing for Phillip Rivers to have one more safety valve. If he needs to check down to somebody, he can throw it to Derek Watt and know that he's going to at least fight to get some extra yards. Yeah, obviously it's good to know that he is doing his job as a run blocker. But I also kind of think, you know, if Melvin Gordon doesn't re-sign with the Chargers, is Derek Watt go with him? Are they a package deal, Daniel? I mean, that's kind of been on my mind.
I mean, I'd like to think they are, just because I think it'd be funny. Be like, hey, like, I'll sign with this team, but I'm only going to sign them if they bring on my fullback, Derek Watt, as well. The Watt brother that no one really cares about. No, I think that would be hilarious if Derek Watt went with him. But I think, I mean, you just don't ever really hear anyone saying, hey, Derek Watt's on the hot seat. Like, it just seems like he kind of has a free pass right now to make the roster. Maybe one of these other running backs go off and they're forced into a difficult decision, but it doesn't seem like in any way like that he is on the hot seat at all to not make the roster this year. But, John, there's two more guys to talk about quickly. Troy Maine-Pope, who was with the team a little bit last season in the practice squad, and then a guy they brought in an undrafted free agency, Jeremy Cox out of Old Dominion. Either of those guys doing anything for you, or do you think they're just camp bodies?
I think Pope's definitely a camp body. The last thing he ever did with his life was go for 1,800 yards in his senior year with Jacksonville State.
That's not bad.
Yeah, other than that, he hasn't done anything in the NFL. He's bounced from practice squads and had less than 20 carries in his career.
How many carries did he have? He has 12 career rushes for 44 yards, yeah.
Yeah, 12.
It's less than 20, yes.
And with Jeremy Cox, I like to mess with Daniel Wade a lot, so I gave him a fake scouting report before the show just to mess with him. So here's the real scouting report, Daniel Wade. Jeremy Cox is actually your Mike Tolbert type of running back. And Old Dominion, over the past couple of years, this is the one thing I did tell you that was true, likes to balance out their running backs. If you go like the past 3 years, even the year when Cox had his best season, they actually had a guy named Ray Lowry, who actually took most of the snaps, who had 200 carries for almost 1,500 yards. And then the next year, Cox ended up having more carries, but only by like 15. So they always share carries. So the stats aren't going to stick out for you, but the fact that he has a 4.4 or higher average
for his career,
that means he's going to be getting first downs when he runs. And his stats don't look that good his senior year because he got a sprained ankle in the 9th game of the season. So he could have had better stats. Yeah, they're not eye popping, but he's at that time he was 6 feet, like 220, I think. Now he's like 235. So he's more of that power back that runs into people. He's also good with catching the ball. You know, like I said, he's the Mike Tolbert type, but he's not going to be that guy that's going to make the flashy plays 24/7. He's going to be like Mike Tolbert. Every now and then you're going to see that 30-yard pass that's going to go maybe for a touchdown, but most of the time it's going to be 10 yards, maybe 12 yards, and he's going to be effective. But as far as making the roster, I don't know.
No.
He's got a really outdo Dechez Newsome for a chance at being a fourth back.
And then they'd have to carry an extra running back, a fourth running back, which they didn't last year. Yeah.
That's the best bet you have, is to be the fourth back to have a chance at being on the roster. Other than that, you're probably going to practice squad.
John giving me a fake scout report. Yeah, we had an argument because I was saying the guy wasn't good before the show, and he was trying to tell me that his 4.2 yards per carry his junior season is 4.4 against the team's Old Dominion's playing against, is supposed to impress me somehow. Get out of here. And for another thing, keep Mike Tolbert's name out of your mouth. Mike Tolbert was a saint. You don't talk about Mike Tolbert that way and bring this bum Jeremy Cox in talking like he's the next Mike Tolbert. You get out of here with that right now. I mean, if there's a guy that could potentially make it, it's Jeremy Cox. Troy Mann Pope's been very pedestrian and has, you know, been around a lot of teams. We're the first team Jeremy Cox is, you know, auditioning for the most part. So, yeah, maybe you could use a bigger guy like that. But, I mean, like I said, I don't think there's any way Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler, and Justin Jackson don't make the team. It doesn't seem like anyone's in a rush to get Derek Waugh out of the picture. So maybe they take four, and then you'd have to overcome a guy like Dechez Newsome, who already impressed the coaching staff last year. I think it's very hard to see him making the roster. But, guys, it seems like we always get a surprise at the running back position when we're talking about undrafted free agents. So you definitely think that there's somewhat of a chance. You expect this guy to start balling out in preseason for sure.
Yeah, like the Brennan Olivers, you have the Trez Newsome. I mean, who's next?
Who's the next one? And then you have a guy like, you know, Marion Grice, who like is a 6th-round pick and doesn't even end up making the team. But anyways.
So highly of him too. Oh, yo, this guy's going to be good. He can kick return. He can catch. He can run. Yeah, he doesn't make the team and he sucks with the Cardinals. Congratulations.
Congratulations. All right. Well, that is going to wrap things up for the running back position group breakdown. Going a little long, but I'm sure you guys don't mind. But we'll be back with you guys this week with another position group. We'll save that for the next show. But until then, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, where we share all of the shows and also share our Facebook Live videos when we have them. And also go subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's TuneIn or the Himalaya podcasting app or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them from, subscribe to it because you will get them before everybody else does. And also, guys, we plan on having a voicemail show soon. If you guys want to get your voice on the show, you know what to do. All you have to do is call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. I've been getting more missed calls and no voicemails. Somebody direct message me on Twitter or something if we're having problems with it, because I keep getting missed calls but no voicemails. But if you guys want to get your voice on the show, we play every voicemail on the show. So make sure to call 323-524-7924. But we will be back with you guys later on in the week. Thanks to our sponsors over at Blue Chew for sponsoring another edition of the Locked On Chargers podcast. And we'll talk to you guys later on in the week. Take it easy and go Bolts.